Gregory Keene commences with another page from The Dossier on Demetrius.
As we began to get near the end of the hunt for Demetrius, some curious facts started coming to light. Haidee had known Karl Skemmel, the major of intelligence whose body we found under the Ogartenstrasse rubble. What a tragedy we couldn't have uncovered that one vital fact before. We'd have known where she stood when she didn't disclose that the man on the Berlin plane was not Skemmel. Then there was the other baffling conundrum. Demetrius had a double in Otto Schmidt, the Berlin clerk who'd disappeared and whose picture we had. Yes, of course, the obvious conclusion was that Schmidt and Demetrius were one and the same person. Unfortunately, we knew that to be utterly impossible. So there we were. Cutts, Colonel Fentress, and myself, beating out our brains in my flat that night and coming up against the stone wall of our flat contradiction. The picture of Schmidt was the picture of Demetrius, but they were two different men, although Schmidt disappeared the moment Demetrius came to London. I can tell you I was jolly glad I'd laid in a decent stock of whiskey.
Now, the other thing that thickens the plot surrounding Demetrius Keene has come through ordinary intelligence channels. We wanted Demetrius originally because he was running the forged papers traffic, getting all manners of riffraff into this country and out of it. Ex-SS men, chaps with black marks against them for atrocities, all that kind of thing. And then it turned out that he was after a lot of Gestapo loot, so that he could have been looked at as an ordinary criminal and been coped with by the Yard. But Demetrius is mixed up in something far, far bigger than blackmail or theft.
Well, we've always had that whisper right along the line. Cutch, you remember that pole you picked up?
Let me tell you. There's not much doubt that there's a good-sized nest of ex-enemy people down in South America somewhere.
Oh, I thought we'd exploded all those Sunday supplement tales about the Gestapo arriving by the submarine
load. No, this is different altogether. We all know the Nazis, as such, are dead and buried. But small cells of them were thrown off in 1945, and they're only waiting for the proper time to appear again in different forms. In the same way that certain fungi, certain vermin lie dormant for years until one day there's the correct combination of seasonal warmth, rain, sunshine and humidity, and suddenly their seed springs to life and you see them on every hand.
You're going to tell me that while they're waiting, they have to stay alive?
Yes, they must have money. And from a lot of detailed stuff that's come to hand lately, oh, you know how it adds up, Keane, bit by bit, intelligence chaps in other parts of the world are pretty certain that the forged papers racket was built up not only to get wanted men from place to place, but to provide tightly disciplined criminal organizations, groups of men in various countries whose task it is to acquire currencies by crime and siphon it off to wherever it's needed.
Hmm. Yes, I recall an eye query from the States about that $2 million robbery in Boston not long ago.
Not a cent of it recovered. Not a known criminal caught in connection with it or even suspected. You see what I mean?
So, of course. That's why Demetrius wants his million.
And why none of the people he uses, the Mazzottis, the Bookmans, the Yachty Blooms, why they'll never see a penny of it.
Well, up to date, Demetrius hasn't got a penny of it. Remember, that trunk they took from the sanatorium was full of rubbish.
But we're still in the same position. To find Demetrius, we have to find the loot before he does. And we mustn't lose sight of the vital importance of finding the chap's true identity. When we know that, we'll be able to pin his background down and perhaps smash his organization at the same time.
Could there be bigger men above him?
No. Demetrius is at the top.
So the question presents itself, where do we go from here?
Well, I can answer that. We all go home and go to bed. Look at the clock, Keane. Tomorrow's another day.
Do you want me to keep out of sight of the embankment and work alone, sir?
Since we've cleared up the matter, Hedy Bergner, better leave it to me, I think. I'll have a word with one or two people and let you know. But keep in touch with me personally. That's about all. Well, come along, Cutts. You can drive me home. And take it quiet.
I needed that sleep. I slept till 11 the next morning. Slept like a log. Took my time over the shower and shave and breakfast. Then I did a thing I seldom do that early. I downed a couple of stiff drinks and felt better for them. I'm not psychic. I'm probably the least psychic cove you're ever likely to run into. But I knew we were on the last lap. I didn't know how, when, nor where, but I was certain that I was running Demetrius to earth, and I'd gone after him in the only possible way, and that ultimately I'd destroy him, and to some small extent, all that he stood for. Even if I had known what he was doing at that instant, it wouldn't have made any difference, although he was further ahead in the search for the Gestapo treasure than we were. He'd had Yachty at work, and Yachty's poles were people Demetrius could really rely on.
So you found a Yachty. Congratulations.
It's easy. Knowing this Fleur Dupont and Max Rubenstein was together is easy.
Well, how did you go about it? Yes, you may help yourself to a drink, but don't take it for granted. What did you actually do?
We are starting from Rubenstein Galleries.
As you were instructed to do.
Yeah. I'm knowing a Polish fellow. His name is Maciek. He is going about bars in Piccadilly, saying he is captain in General Anders' Polish division. He's very correct. He's knowing lots of, what you call it, society women. Yeah, that's right.
I know what you mean. He's probably the only person in your circle who knows what fork to use. Get on with it.
Forks? You're wanting to talk about forks, Demetrius?
I'm waiting to hear about this fellow Maciek. Get on with it.
Yeah, well, I give Maciek little money. I say, go to Rubenstein Galleries in Old Bond Street. There you are asking for address of Mademoiselle Fleur Dupont.
Look, Yachty, I find your recital perfectly fascinating, but indulge yourself some other time. Just tell me what took place at the galleries and whether or not you have the woman's address.
At the galleries, they are saying, she is not here. Maciek says, but it is important. I am having Mademoiselle's address, care of Rubenstein Galleries. Yeah, care.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't want your version of the dialogue that took place.
Yeah, yeah. Maciek is bowing and clicking the heels, you know. He's correct. They are thinking, here's gentlemen. They are telling him Mademoiselle Dupont's business, Mademoiselle Dupont's address.
May I share yours and Maciek's knowledge, Jotty?
Yeah. She has offices in... It's hard to say. Albemarle Street. She has agency for models, you know. You're wanting a girl to paint. You're wanting a girl to show clothes. She's finding for
Where
you.
Where does she live?
Flat 124, 27th Birdcage Walk.
Well, that's a pleasant, quiet neighborhood. What do you think, Yachty? Should we pay a call on Mademoiselle Dupont tonight?
Yeah.
Max Rubenstein did something with that cabin trunk full of money. He did it quickly. And he didn't hand it to a perfect stranger. And since, from what Max Rubenstein told me, Fleur Dupont would seem to have been his closest acquaintance, who's a more likely person to know the whereabouts of it, hmm?
Yeah. We're going to see her tonight. But what if she knows where it is but doesn't tell us?
Yachty, can you imagine me taking you along on a purely social occasion? You will stay in the background tonight. If Miss Dupont has information for us but decides to be obstinate, then, of course, I shall have to present you to her. How's the time? Yes, we'll pay our respects rather later than one generally does, about 2 o'clock in the morning, so we can be sure our hostess will be home. Well, that's all for now, Yachty. Go and ask Hady to come along to my cabin, will you? We may get her to drive tonight. O'clock. We're right on time. Now, stay out of sight there in the corridor, Yachty. I'll let you in if you're needed.
Yeah, and if she is home?
Yes?
Forgive me.
Oh, who, what? Who are you? What do you mean by forcing your way into...
I must apologize, Miss Dupont. I wasn't actually forcing my way, and I merely didn't want to be seen for your sake.
This is preposterous. Who are you?
I am Captain Inchcape, MI5.
I'm going to call the police if you are not out of my apartment in 5 seconds.
Well, now, are you?
I shall telephone at once.
You'd be wiser to sit down and listen to me. Come on, be sensible. Later on, you can ring the police to your heart's content. But for the moment, do as I say. That's right. Now then, you are Fleur Dupont.
Yes, but you seem to know that.
We are looking into the murder of a man named Max Rubenstein. I believe you were closely associated with him.
I have never heard of him in my life.
Then how do letters from you come to be among his papers at the Rubenstein Galleries? Don't let's waste each other's time, Miss Dupont. We know quite a lot about you. And only your own good sense will keep you from being arrested.
Arrested?
Yes. Now, I don't want to have to take you to our headquarters for questioning, so I suggest you tell me all you can about a cabin trunk full of important papers Rubenstein left with you. We want that trunk, Miss Dupont. We're going to get it. Nothing will stop us getting it. So let's begin.
You are not a captain on MI5. You are not even an Englishman. Get out of here. I'm going to call for help.
I would much rather you didn't utter a sound, Miss Dupont.
Max warned me about you. Max told me what you look like. Yes, yes, I know who you are.
Yashi!
You
are... Come in here.
At that time, I wasn't even aware of the existence of Fleur Dupont. I'd spent the day at the Rubenstein Galleries going over Rubenstein's papers, but I'd drawn a complete blank. We hadn't a clue to whom he might have consigned the treasure, till we heard from Eustace Manningly again. I'd been right that morning. Nothing could stop me closing in on Demetrius now.